Hello, and welcome to Awin Talks, the affiliate marketing podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson, and I'm joined today by my colleague and co-host, Jess Brown, Awin UK's agency partner. Hi, Jess. How are you doing?
Hi, Rob. All good, thanks. Very well.
Good to hear. Now, I believe that this isn't your first time on the Awin Talks podcast, but for those listeners who might be unfamiliar with you, can you give us a quick intro into your role at Awin?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am our agency partner at Awin, and I basically look after all things agency in the UK market. So anything from agency new business, proposal support, commercial confirmation, and then existing partnerships. Doing workshops, lunch and learns with agencies, anywhere that the job takes me, really, when working with our agencies, which varies every day. And I absolutely love working with them and developing our partnerships. So hopefully that gives a brief overview. I also work with all the sort of wider agency teams internationally, and they're all great in their local markets. And we've built a little community, so that's really nice to be a part of as well.
Brilliant. And you're also part of the client partner team, aren't you, who we previously had co-hosting the podcast, the likes of Joelle and Lee, for instance. What have you guys been up to recently that might be of interest?
So we have actually been meeting up in person, which is probably of interest to a lot of people who haven't been doing that.
Quite novel, yeah.
We've been coming to the Awin office in London quite often. So on Thursdays, they tend to be our team days, and doing brainstorming, thinking about sector strategies and how we're going to work together moving forward. So obviously on the team, we've got Lee, who looks after travel and retail, and APY, who looks after telco and finance, and then our director Roz, who kind of does a bit of everything and keeps us all in line. And so Roz, actually, I've got a little story about her. She didn't tell us it was her birthday the other day, and we obviously had to do an embarrassing office cake to desk situation for her to get her back for that. But we got there with her. But yeah, it's been good. Meeting up in person's been absolutely brilliant, and seeing everyone. So yeah.
Great. Well, we've got you on today for one of our special in-depth interviews. Can you tell us a bit about who it is that you're speaking to?
Yep. So I'm speaking to Simon Terry, who's the managing director of Psycho, one of the agencies that we work with. They're an agency partner of ours, which means we just work a little bit more closely with them to develop the growth of their business and just find out how more we can support, really. Simon's been in the industry absolute years. And he's really, really interesting to talk to. And I think today's interview is going to be really interesting. It's quite heartfelt as well. We got a little bit deep about the pandemic and everything we went through. But it's just so nice to speak to someone who's really been a part of it and come out stronger the other side and had some interesting stories, really, to go through. But yeah, he's really great to talk to. And like I say, really knowledgeable as well on the industry. So I think it's going to be a good one for people to listen to.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it. And so without further ado, I'll hand over the reins of the podcast to you and Simon.
Hi, Simon. Great to meet you. Did you want to start off by doing like a bit of an origins of Psycho, its current size, reach, some of the service options, just a bit of an intro and overview for our listeners today?
Yeah, sure. So we've been going now for about 10 years. So we set up in 2011. I was working for a publisher at the time, and I saw that there was a gap in the market to provide an expert affiliate management agency. So so that's what we did, really. We're an SME ourselves, so we flux in terms of numbers of people in the team, but you know, typically up to about 20 people, with revenues of, let's say, between 25 to 30 million client revenues per annum. We're mainly English-speaking markets, so service UK, US. We have some international capacity to manage business from the UK, but I would say mainly English speaking markets. We're privately owned, So we have no shareholders, we have no debts, we have no, you know, we're not owned by a big corporation, let's say. So, you know, we're very, we're independent. And I think, you know, one really positive thing about that is, you know, we're quite fast moving. Yeah. So if we decide to do something, you know, we just kind of do it. You know, our culture, Jess, I think is to be hopefully come across to our clients as, you know, ethical, authentic, I would say, in terms of the way we service our clients. And inside, yeah, I mean, maybe like a number of companies, but I think a bunch of really interesting characters, hardworking, but also something that's very important to us is the work-home life balance. So that's a little bit, let's say, about our origin.
Definitely. And thinking back to sort of what I previously knew about Psycho and how things have changed, obviously you had quite a number of travel clients. Can you tell us a bit about how that's kind of repositioned over time and some of the decisions behind that and how it's really flourished, I guess, from your side as an agency?
That's back to our origin. So, you know, in terms of where I came from, you know, it was a travel background. So sort of, you know, typical sales, marketing, operations, procurement type roles in travel companies that sort of progressively moved online. So, you know, companies like Hertz, Holiday Autos, which we sold to lastminute.com. And then the team that I started to build, actually, when I became a joint founder of a publisher, which I still think exists today, it's called Discount Vouchers. You know, we brought a lot of people that have worked in travel with us, and therefore, by nature, I guess the types of companies that we attracted because of our background were travel companies. So, you know, if I look at the team, you know, they've got some fantastic experiences in agencies, in network, you know, Awin, CJ, OMD, Publicist, but then also some very well-known travel clients. So I suppose that's natural in a way, having worked in that business and having got good people in those industries, we've attracted travel clients. And that became sort of our niche. I think, you know, we were comfortable there. And I think people got to know Psycho a little bit in terms of, well, when it's travel, actually, they're a pretty good, management agency. And I think if you put us all together, it's something ridiculous, like 125 years worth of affiliate experience, you know, predominantly with, until last year, a lot of travel companies.
Yeah. And at what point did you sort of make the decision to evolve your offering from being very travel focused agency to also incorporating elements of that retail side and other sectors too?
A lot was driven by last year, Jess. I mean, it was anybody, I think, that was connected with travel, it was a complete car crash.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was the 26th of March. We were doing, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds worth a day of client revenue. And I remember the 26th of March, I think we did £236, maybe, you know, one car rental, one airport car parking pickup or something like that. And it was like somebody just turned the tap off. It was pretty scary, actually. And, you know, at that time, that's 75% of our business. In terms of sales or orders, or travel client related. So, you know, maybe 90% of the revenue. So, you know, that brought a lot of issues, right? I think like a number of companies, you run a receivable. So we had money out there. Getting money was never an issue before, but it was when the pandemic hit in full force, because all of a sudden the money dried up in that particular vertical. And so when you asked and you went out to your companies that owed you money to get money, it was like, yeah, I'm sorry about this, but there's going to be a delay. It was scary. So we had to, you know, really work hard internally in terms of how we managed our costs, how we used the government furlough program, how we invoiced and how we worked with our clients. And our creditors to get through that period. And you know, it was tough. The team really had to dig deep. As part of what we decided to do was, you know, we've actually been managing quite a lot sort of behind the scenes under the surface of non-travel programs. So it probably expedited the process in terms of, okay, why don't we really start to look at whether or not we can use the core model of our agency and see if we can apply it to other verticals. So that's what we did. Probably around the July, August time of last year, we brought everybody back that had been on a furlough program and not part of the core running of the business on a day-to-day with a smaller team, and we put them into a biz dev team. And we said, right, let's go hard. Let's go and see if we can find some good, non-travel brands to work with. And, let's see if we can attract these clients. And yeah, as we sit here today, probably 25% of our business is now travel related and 75% is retail. So we've had a massive pivot. I know people use that word a lot at the moment, but we've had a massive pivot in terms of how we've really changed the mix of our clients, and in many ways transformed the business. So I think we were kind of going that way, but it really did sort of speed up the process, the horrendous year that a lot of people had last year.
Yeah, I bet. And it's so interesting to hear about sort of all those changes and how they came about. And yeah, it's amazing to see really how quickly that's been brought forward. But were there specific things about the way the business was run that had to be adapted for retail versus sort of travel clients, or were there similarities? What did you see sort of change the most?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously, they are very different. But at the same time, honestly, I don't think we've had to make any significant changes, because the structure of the business is the same. Our processes of the business is the same. Our sort of organization and the modeling of the business are all the same. So, I think our business model was extremely portable in terms of bringing on, let's say, new verticals. But what is clearly different is the makeup of the client's business. It's very different. The seasonality of the business is different. The commercials are different. They've got very different margins in retail as they have into travel. In terms of the variables, you've got an average order value of a holiday of, £2,500-£3,000 with a client like, Nielsen or an Oliver's Travels. Whereas, you've got a significantly lower average order value with some of the kids clothing or ladies clothing brands that we're now working with. So I think, one has to appreciate those different, the differences in the commercials of those sectors. But one thing's for sure, we felt that we needed to bring on some more relevant experience to help ourselves in those new areas. So, whilst we had a pretty awful time halfway through last year saying goodbye to some people, as business has picked up, we've been able to recruit again. So now we're starting to hire, and interestingly, in terms of the people that we brought on, they're not just travel background, but we're getting really, really good people that have worked for some super retail brands. So I think our knowledge in terms of the people that we've brought into the business, and now the experience that we've gained, we're being able to put some case studies together. And we've actually got the experience where, I find that, we can actually go out to clients now, potential clients, and say, yeah, we've got some really good experience in your sector, and be, like I was talking before, be believable, be authentic, and have the experience that we can help them, drive their business. So we haven't had to change them that much, but we have to appreciate that the businesses are incredibly different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, aside from changing to like bookings and sales and the terminology as well, and the way that you talk about and the different sectors. But are there things that the two sectors you think could learn from each other, having like become essentially experts across both now? Do you think like retail could learn from travel in any way? You talked about different seasonalities. But yeah, around like the margins or anything like that, is there any tips that you can say?
I mean, one of the key drivers for this is the publisher base. So, we're a management agency. You know, it's our job to position our clients in the best possible way that we can with publishers. And we've seen a massive sort of transition in terms of the publisher base versus, say, 2019. So, you know, I think some of those are related to the pandemic and how things have changed, but some are all equally related to now we're working in different sectors, what different types of publishers we're working with. So, you know, I think in 2019 we had about 4,500 active publishers on our client programs. If I look at 2021, that's reduced by about 40%. So, you know, I don't know what the AWIN stats are, but from our side, we've seen that, and that must be pandemic driven. That's had a massive effect on publishers just existing these days. So, you know, pretty significant drop off. So, a real change in the publisher base. Aside from, you know, retail or travel, I think there's been a drop off in some publisher models. So, much less employee benefit sites than we were seeing before. Ergo, I guess, you know, a lot of companies in trouble, maybe, you know, less emphasis and less budget they can afford on employee benefit programs. So again, that sounds logical. Less conversion specialists, definitely we're seeing across the board on the programs. But then, you know, is it partly a change in the publisher model, or is it, as we move into retail more, we're seeing lots of different types of publisher models come out. So browser extension models, we're seeing, we're involved a lot more now with CSS feeds that are driving volume to shopping sites or price comparison sites. No, we had less of that when we were working in the travel sector. We're engaging a lot more with Google shopping specialists, definitely in retail. Not so much when we were in on the travel side. Some new closed user group sites that we're seeing specifically for retail clients, and then more sub networks who are giving supposed new incremental publishers as well as media. So I think we're being introduced and we're learning a lot more about other publisher models and specific publishers than we were before. And in a way, with the tools that we've got, we're now being able to look across the board and say, oh, that's interesting. They're working in travel. We don't really see them. Let's introduce those possibly on the retail side and vice versa, starting to introduce retail publishers into the travel side. So, you know, a lot of learning for the team and new team members. So it's pretty engaging. It's a pretty exciting time right now.
Yeah, definitely. And that's so interesting to hear about the different publishers. I know, we as a network really support the emergence of those new publisher types and introducing them to our agency. So it's great to hear you're working with so many new and different types, and as they're evolving, sort of embracing and celebrating that as well. And that kind of leads us on nicely to the next question, which is how did you find sort of the support from AWIN as a network through the pandemic period, and specifically in your transformation as a travel and retail agency?
I think we've always, we've always worked with with AWIN. You haven't had all of our business, but we've had a lot of business working in conjunction with AWIN, but I would say we're closer now with AWIN than we probably have ever been. If I look at your relationship with Nick, for example, on the biz dev side, or Claire and the Claire Christ and the client management team. So I think, yes, our business has grown with you, and you've supported us a lot more. I think you've supported us a lot more in terms of commercials, in terms of key account management, your side, which, you know, which we massively appreciate. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but, you know, we're getting a lot more referrals from you now in terms of, you know, possibly if it's the right type of client for you to refer externally. You know, Psycho now as a management agency is maybe higher up the list for you to recommend us. So I think, you know, generally our the way we work together is a lot closer than we were before. You know, long may it continue. So yeah, I think you've helped us a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely love working with the team, as you say. And yeah, I think the introduction
is
like
a why the team so much.
Wow, they're just so great to work with, so personable. I love the transparency and honesty of working with Psycho. Honestly, it's very much you only work with the brands that you want to work with, I get told a lot, which I think is really great. And you're not afraid to turn brands down as well. We have had that where you thought openly discussed it with me as a business and said, you know, we're not really sure, what do you think? And it's just a very collaborative approach to everything we do, which is really great to see. And I love the way that you sort of position things with the clients at heart at all times, which is so important for an agency to put their clients first. But like I say, just being selective, I shouldn't say picky, about the ones that you think you can really support and grow. So yeah, that's so important. And obviously we've been able to meet up in person, which is limited at the moment. So that was really lovely a few weeks ago. But yeah, I think the team are a great asset.
That's really good. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. And that you make some good points there. I mean, you know, a key driver for us is the return that the clients get. So, you know, we're not looking to tie clients into long, long, long relationships. We're looking in terms of, you know, driving incremental volume and new customers to clients, and it's got to work for them, you know, from a revenue perspective, and it's got to work for us from a revenue perspective. So, you know, we don't take decisions in terms of working with people lightly. You know, we're pretty obsessive about doing well for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with the sort of introduction of a dedicated agency strategy, which was only sort of implemented from an Avon side last year, we've got teams all over and different markets, and it's great to see conversations going on there as well. And even from the travel side, as that's opening back up and seeing things sort of pick back up from before, it's been really great to see that flourish across all markets.
It hasn't been easy for the clients. We've got a number of parties here. You know, we've got you, the affiliate network, the platform. We've got us as the management agency, but also from a client perspective, particularly some of those travel clients, they've had it pretty tough. And you know, you look, there's sort of a smattering of things opening up right now, but arguably, you know, travel is not really going to lift until, you know, potentially in terms of full swing back to 2023. So this has been a really, really difficult time from clients. So we've had to work very closely with the existing clients right now. You know, some of them we've had to pause. Some of them we've had to change the commercials. You know, we've really had to be very, very close to protect the relationships going forward. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to take a medium to long-term approach with business partners, as opposed to, you know, sort of getting people to stick to contracts and, you know, say, there are the fees, you know. You know, we've really done that across the board with a lot of our clients, and I'm convinced that's been the right approach, because we'll all come out of it having shared the pain and stronger.
Yeah, flexibility has definitely been absolutely key, I think, throughout all of this. And like you say, it's going to unlock sort of that future potential and help sort of a lot of clients keep going as well. It's probably exactly what they needed and all of that. So it's really great to hear that as well. But so from the experience, because you've had so much and worked so closely with all of these clients, do you think the affiliate channel as a model has sort of responded well to the effects of the last 18 months? Or do you think more could have been done? How did you sort of find that experience overall?
Yeah, I think it's gone. I actually think it's gone very well. If I look at, you know, Michelle and your access program, you know, if you look at there's a number of things that strike me here. The pandemic has brought a lot of difficulties for people. So your typical, you know, bricks and mortar type operations, people shifting more and more and more to online transactions. So that's got to be beneficial for the affiliate community. I think, again, it's very basic, which is going back to our intrinsic model, which is on a CPA basis, you know, where people are watching their budgets, to actually work within the affiliate side where, you know, effectively there's no payment until you get a sale. You know, that's got to help somebody as they shift their business online. If they're cutting their budgets, it's got to help them. If they're an online startup, it's got to help them. So, you know, I think the model is right as long as the affiliate segment can keep delivering the type of ROIs that clients need. And in our experience, it is. And I think the whole sort of affiliate, you know, community has really had to work incredibly hard. So it's, you know, it's really good to see what everybody's been able to achieve, I think, in the last sort of, you know, 15 to 18 months, which has been so tough.
Yeah, definitely. And now we're sort of coming out of the woods. What excites you most about the industry right now? And which areas do you see the most innovation occurring as we sort of move forward out of all of this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, rather than talk about the industry, I've got to tell you the thing that most excites me is what, you know, is myself in terms of what the team are doing internally. You know, slightly dodging your question a little bit, but, you know, that's the thing that really preoccupies me right now. You know, we're starting to grow. We're now starting to grow fast. You know, we're now, I think, a really, you know, accredited agency with you. We're bringing on a lot more clients. We're bringing people back in. You know, we're starting to grow significantly and get a lot more, you know, experience in you know, in terms of you know, different sectors. So I'm sure models are changing, publisher models are changing. We've seen that. You know, the client mix is changing. A whole load of things. But what really drives me every day and drives the team every day, I think, is how we're changing as an agency and is how we're really building the business. We've had some hurdles to overcome, personal business hurdles over the last few years. And I think it's, you know, it's our time now to really grow this business, and it's dead exciting. So that's what preoccupies me right now is how we're doing for our clients, and how many new customers we're bringing. And that's sort of my obsession.
Yeah, brilliant. That's a good obsession to have, I think, and it sounds really exciting. So just to finish off, what are Psycho's plans for the future? I mean, obviously you've conquered travel, now retail. Are you going to go into more sectors or remain specialists across those? Where do you sort of see things going from here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, thank you for saying conquering, but I think we're far from conquering it. Yes, we have a growing strong client base, and for sure I want that to grow. I'm sure it can grow, you know, domestically, it can grow internationally, but I think I have two key things really for the business that again drives me and drives the business. One is almost obsessional is client numbers. So, you know, we want every program that we work with to, you know, get better and better numbers, better ROIs, and bring new customers. So that's a real priority for me. So whether the business is big or small, we've got to be doing it for our clients. And I think the second thing that is most important for Psycho as we go forward is the team that we've got. You know, I'm a little older. I've worked for a number of companies. An absolute priority for me is the team and what sort of levels of remuneration we can bring to the team over the next few years. As I've said, the type of company we are is we're a private company, so we can afford to really work hard, I think, in terms of our employee remuneration and retention, with you know, strong bonus programs that, you know, maybe some large corporations can't do. So I think client returns and Psycho staff is the real sort of focus for us going forward, whether we're a large or a big agency. But obviously we want to grow.
That sounds like a great focus going forward. And I'm excited to stay in the loop and support and be a part of it, really. I feel like a bit of an extension of all our agencies. So it's nice to have that partnership and see it go from strength to strength and grow and have more clients and do lots of good stuff for them. So thanks so much for talking to us today and doing our interview for our podcast. And we hope to speak to you again soon on another edition of this. So thanks for coming in. And yeah.
Thanks very much, Jess. Thanks for all your support you've given us, and look forward to, you know, the team working with you going forward. So much appreciated.